Blog Talk Radio.
This is a word from the book this morning from the book of 1 John, the 4th chapter. It could be so kind of like to direct your attention to the 19th verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it reads, "We love him because he first loved us." We love him because he first loved us. And we want to preach briefly on this subject this morning, the power of love. We love him because he first loved us. In reading the Gospels and the stories contained in the Gospels, have you ever wondered where Jesus got all of those wonderful stories? No doubt some of those stories came out of his God and woman, the imagination. But others were suggested by various incidents and events that Jesus observed around Nazareth as he grew up. He may well known shepherds who his search through the hills day and night for a lamb that is strayed from the fold. And it's not far-fetched that from the carpenter shop of his earthly father, there was a house where a young man broke his father's heart by announcing that one day he would leave home. No doubt, the boy leaving was the talk of the town. And there were many sympathizing eyes that were turned in the direction of that home that was marked by great loneliness. People would walk into the carpenter shop for the work that they had ordered from Joseph, and they told the story day by day of the father being seen staring down the road that his young son had walked away, with the hope written on his face that the form of his son coming home would come down that same road, and the father would be overjoyed seeing the stride of his son. Later on, Jesus would seek to penetrate the disbelief of people, telling them about the mystery of God's love, telling them that the love of God was like that of a father who watched so long for his son to come home. Jesus kept telling us that the only way that we could grasp the wonderful and unspeakable relationship that God offers us is by illustration, example, comparison, and by light. And so Jesus said that God's reign and our place in that place are like first this thing and then another. We're told in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, that the kingdom of heaven is like some yeast which a woman worked into a bushel of flour. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure that is hid in a field. And again, he said that those who hear and take heed of his word are like a man which built his house and did it deep. Throughout the scriptures, God's relationship to us is presented in the forms of life and similarities of various kinds and of the love relationships that we know in this life. You see, this word, love, both in its best smallest meaning, that can be the most powerful word in the world. Be it tanks, rockets, nuclear weapons, corrupt government, systematic racism, pandemics, they have no power to win the inward death that lies in our soul. The power that these words represent may be and batter our will to obedience and forth and external way. But let me make it clear. Not any of them can command a eager will and a glad yet in the inmost part of our soul. You see, all of us have inside of us a door that marks Christ. And I want to no weapons of force, government, church, school, social order, whatever can damage. It's locked. Try to get them and come with nothing more than a key of authority and power. You see, that door, that innermost door, my pride, love doesn't need to be in. Love doesn't even have to knock. Just the door is flung wide open and the heart within awaits it. You see, this word love is the most powerful word in the universe. It's the soundtrack of young people when they hate. It's the atmosphere that gives beauty to the marriage. It's a young mother's heartbeat. It's the death. To find bonds of friendship between strong men. It's the life giving fire to all of our worship. It's the saints' bright delight. And it's the bridge which the church on earth keeps a mysterious, sweet communion with those who have gone on to get their rest. You see, love. In all of the stuff. It's used in the Bible to illustrate God's interest in us and his care for us. If you look at Hosea, it was either out of a humiliation and his own marriage or with an incredible imagination. He told us of God's love. With us that similar to a young man who is trying to woo and entice a young woman to marry. For that, the Greeks had a word that they called eros, out of which the word erotic comes. And that's where all of our commercials and movies and songs are coming in. But in the Old Testament, we suggest that at least in one instance that Moses being a man said to be a friend of God, and whom God spoke, we're told in Exodus 33 and 11, face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. You see, the Greeks in the New Testament times would call that form of love philia. The association of mutual interest and the appreciation that we call friendship. And that great New Testament word for love is either eros or philia, but it is friendship and it is agape. That's what we did within our text this morning. It's best defined as goodwill, it's a pride. An urge for the removing of the suffering, a care without self-interest, and in God's case, it's a manifestation of what is most God-centered. And so, if you stated correctly that God is love, and it has nothing to do with the word of the gospel. As Dr. Watts penned in his song, "Alas, did my Savior look dead? Did my sovereign die? Would he behold that sacred head for such a murder as I?" For New Testament scholars have said to us that we don't even need to complete the whole statement in our text. He first loved us. We don't have to complete that. They say that we might as well leave ourselves out of it for a moment and say that he first loved us. And that's the meaning that love was operating. God's love far back in the misty, hazy, indescribable regions of eternity. Even then, God loves that word. He first loved when there was nothing to love except his only son. And this is our ground for believing that in this universe is made up for God's love. So first, at the beginning of all things is God's love. Out in the farthest outpost of creation, love is centered. You see, God first loved us. For there are galaxies that are 10 billion light years from Earth. And I don't understand it, but it says that it takes 10 million years for light to travel to Earth. And what that means is that from the far reaches of space, speeding with the great oceans of space and speed, is traveling at 186,000 miles a second. That's fast. And I don't know how far 10 billion light years are located from the distance from where I'm standing now. But I do know that God's love touches that part of his creation because he first loved. That was before we thought or turned in the twinkling of devotion back to God. He first loved us. He loved us before anybody else loved us. Be it fathers or mothers or wives or husbands or children. He first loved us. And I wonder what would happen if you were substitute me for us. He first loved you. He first loved me and all of my unworthiness. And in all of our rebelliousness and selfishness, can you say it to yourself this morning? He first loved me. Now, how understandable that would be if you and I were creatures that merited God's favor.
Well,
you see, that word in the New Testament, grace, means that we enjoy God's love, but we don't merit it. Now, how much less difficult it would be for us to understand God's love if we were models of kindness, if we were patterns of God's kindness, or examples of pure thoughts, or examples of good deeds. Even then, it would be a
condescension that God would direct his interest and affection toward us. But the truth be told, we can't pass that test. For if we, and if I was confident enough to examine everyone listening to me this morning, who would pass that test? Could you say, no, if I asked you, had you had another thought this week? Who among us could answer yes if I asked you if you had been kind to everybody this week? If you haven't spoken a word, not a term, and if someone is claiming that they were kind to everyone they came in contact with, and that they didn't have any ugly thoughts this week, the best I could do would say that when you're in line with your brother, because you're telling a big lie. Because none of us have been perfect this week. Amen? And if you claim to be perfect, you're telling a big lie. But yet still in our imperfection, God first loved us. Now, does someone need to know, well, Pastor, how do you know that God loves us? Well, I know it because I'm here this morning. And I'm close in my right mind. And everyone who's listening to me this morning, I pray that you're in your right mind as well. That demonstrates that God loves you. And he put food on your table this morning. And it was the light of God's love that woke us up this morning. Prophets have told us that God loves us. There's a hill called Calvary. And no matter how people look at it, never mind what explanations they give, we know that God was at work on that hill, at work in our interest and at a great cost, and for us of all people, Jesus died for you and I. And there's not much that we can do in return, because we're limited, we're frail and weak. But what we can do, we can turn back to him some faint reflection of his great love and say to me that we love the Lord. And I hope you can truly say that while you may not be all that you should be, but you do love the Lord. And we can show that love for God by the care that we give and the interest that we take in one another. Where people are hungry and homeless, it is there our hearts and our prayers and our material interest should be on. For in our community, people have labeled us as being powerless and cast aside, but that's not true. Because we're able to exercise our Christian love to God by loving each other and to empower us. We have the power to upkeep our community. We have the power to have a say in the schooling of our children, the handling of the funds at the state and local level is all determined by who we put it on. Protests are good, but people are not put in office by protest people. They're either removed or placed in office by the power of the vote. So yes, the love of God, the man's love of people and helping people to that true man, God given strength. That's love. And I can't say that we love because God first loved us. All of our love worth being called by that name sprang from this simple son, born his great warning and healing rays on our unprofitable lives. We love fathers, love mothers, love wives, love husbands, love children, love fellow human beings, because Jesus first loved us. That's the central theme of the Bible. That's the central theme of the universe. That's the central theme of life. God loved us and he loved us. Thank you, Lord. The simplest and sweetest speech that a baby can speak. He first loved us. And then reflect on the magnificent music that reaches the majesty of God on high and says he first loved us. Then when you get that little child who sings and uses it so beautifully, that Jesus loved me, this I know because the Bible tells us so. As the convert who driven from the baptismal waters, and they'll tell you that he loved me and he gave himself for me. He first loved me. And then look at the Christians as they pilgrim through life and they inherit back to glory, and they're saying, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. They're saying he first loved us. And then cast the faith on their dying bed, and they'll murmur with a fever in their body, saying, having first loved his own, he loved them to the end. They say, yes, he first loved us. Then if he struck on the praise of the redeemed in the city of God, in the New Jerusalem, and they're singing unto God who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God. What they're saying is that he first loved us. And I want to leave this with you this morning. I want to let you know that there is a Father who made us and loved us and whose children we are. There is a Savior who loves us and who has died for us. And there is a Holy Spirit who loves us by his companionship and his guidance. And there's also a hope where someday we shall all be together. All of this adds up to this one fact. He first loved us. And I put that first. I put that first above God's greatness. He first loved us. I put it above his majesty. He first loved us. I put it above his holiness. He first loved us. I put it above his omnipresence and his equal attendance everywhere and anywhere at the same time. He first loved us. And I can't just hear Jesus saying, I love you and I will no longer forsake you. There's nothing more powerful than love. Love will conquer death. Love will conquer sickness. Love will conquer pandemic. Love will cover a multitude of sins. I'm glad this morning because we have a God who first loved us when we were unworthy. He still loved us. when we was in a great opportunity and he first left us, there's nothing more powerful. God, now it's easy. It's easy to hate somebody. Hate just makes things worse unless you hate sin. Because you can't stop hating sin until you get a dose of God's love. And God's love will make you turn your life around, straighten up, and live a life that's worthy of all that He has bestowed upon you. The power of love. Love allows us to become more and more like Jesus, because the Bible tells us God is love.
Amen.
If you want to turn your life around, get close with God. God will turn your life around because He's all power.
Amen.
And there's power in the love of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How good the Lord is. Amen. God bless.
Okay, yeah.